Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are studying this chapter of making mujahada, of making effort, and here reference to mujahada is the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, that a person must strive to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, and so much ibadat that he feels the strain of the ibadat, not just a little bit and then we take rest, but we make so much ibadat that we can feel the strain. The hadith before the previous one we read, where Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam in his tahajjud namaz read Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Nisa, about 6 1/4 suparas. And then in the ruku he took just about as long when he stood up in Poma, in Sajda also. He made ibadat like that. And the previous hadith we read, where Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, also joined Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for tahajjud namaz. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, sir, read so long that he said, I thought of doing something evil. When the Sahaba asked him, what is it that you thought? He said that I thought I will break my namaz and leave it. In other words, the ibadat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was so much that even the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum found it difficult to endure that type of ibadat. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is guaranteed his loftiest places by Allah ta'ala. In spite of that, he made so much of ibadat in his nafal ibadat. And we are not promised anything. And we don't make any effort whatsoever. Even our farais, we don't do properly. The nafal namazes, which are with our 5 times namaz, we don't make. Other nafal namazes also we don't make. We should also endeavor. We can't ever reach that level, that is for sure. But at least to be somewhat in that direction. Somewhat of some ibadat must be in our lives. And this is particularly for those who are the ulama and who are regarded as the pious people, who are engaged in the efforts of deen. Their ibadat must be even more. And the effects of all the efforts of deen will only become visualized, realized, be seen if we have got ibadat in our lives. If we are empty of ibadat, all our efforts will also be just an outward show. There will be no reality in it. So further points that we learn from this hadith that we read, that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's reluctance to oppose the action of the imam emphasizes the need to be respectful towards seniors and teachers. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the namaz he found it hard. It was very cumbersome. It was a great mujahada, but he did not break his namaz. That is, he was obedient. He went through it, though it was very difficult for him. So that teaches us that always, though with our elders, we find it sometimes difficult to endure what their lifestyle is, what their way of life is, but respect and adab demands that we endure it and that we go through with it very respectfully and in a dignified way. Ulama state that if a muqtadi, one who follows the imam, finds it difficult to stand for a long time during farz or nafal salah, then he may sit down. If it becomes too cumbersome, a person is sickly, he is of advanced age, he cannot endure it, but he tries to stand behind the imam. But then he cannot take it because he's of his old age, pains in his body, whether it be in his legs, knees, back, etc., then he may sit down when he cannot take it anymore. And in nafal namaz, it's quite clear he can sit there also. And that is also an indication that this latitude and this mas'ala is explained, that we should try our best to make namaz in the original form. Where we become helpless, then that is because we are helpless. But in our hearts still must be to make namaz in the original form. Like for example, we have to sit on the chair for necessity, but still in our heart must be that I should be standing and making namaz. We cannot make sajda now because of some difficulty. And we have to sit on the chair, for example. And we can't, we make sajda just by ishara, just by indication. But in our hearts must still be that I wish I could make sajda properly according the proper way. So that should be always within us. Where of necessity we cannot manage it, and that also we should not just justify ourselves, though it is permissible. But the correct attitude of a banda, of a slave, is he should ask forgiveness for that also from Allah Ta'ala. That I could not make your ibadat as it was supposed to be made. And that we don't justify ourselves, but that we ask for forgiveness. Though it is permissible that we justify ourselves when we are justified, when there is an excuse, a valid excuse. But still, the real attitude of a true slave and banda is that he obeys very, very diligently. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, illustrating this point, has explained, a king told one of his subjects, his people under him, that jump in the water with your clothes on and see that you don't get wet. Immediately he jumped in the water. Then he told him, come out. He said, I said, your clothes must not get wet. He didn't say, it's your head, right? If you go in water, your clothes will get wet. He said, Ma, forgive me. That is the attitude of a banda, that he tries, we will get to. Allah has commanded us not to commit guna, but we are going to commit guna. So our attitude is here. We don't say, oh Allah, when we are in this dunya and the temptations are so great that we are going to fall into guna. We fall into guna, but we ask for maaf. Oh Allah, forgive us for having. That is the attitude of a true slave and banda of Allah Ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asking for clarification from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu teaches us that an explanation should be sought regarding religious issues that are unclear or difficult to comprehend. The Sahaba asked Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that what is it that you thought about, that evil thought that came in your mind, which he explained that I thought of breaking my namaz. But so there, from that also we learn, and this is how we should study hadith, that we take lessons from every aspect. Not just that it is a fact, but what is the lesson behind it. And that was that the Sahaba, they inquired and they asked for clarification what they did not understand. So we also, where we don't understand, and if it is our seniors, with due respect and adab, but we should inquire so that we are not left in confusion and we are not left in doubts. We should ask nicely in a respectful way that why have you done this? Why are you saying this? So that we get a clarification of those matters. Not to make atiraz to find fault. Not just for the sake of asking, but to remove the confusion. So that, and we say the Sahaba, and in fact, how many places Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them, why don't you ask me why I did this? Many occasions like that. And then, afterwards the Sahaba, when they did the same action, they told those who are after them, why don't you ask me why I have done this? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shook the branch of a tree and then told the Sahaba, ask me why I shook the branch of the tree. And we see this, mashallah, this sunnah also in our elders. We remember our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimullah, many times should tell us, ask me why I did this. Why am I saying this? So that it opens the doors of great houses of knowledge. Question opens the doors of great knowledge. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq also. Our dear brother, Baikbal Jina, passed away yesterday. And what a Mubarak Maut, what a Mubarak place, what a Mubarak day. May we all, let us read three times, Qul Huwallah, pass the sawab to marhum and to all our dear and close ones, to all the Muslims who have passed away, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. منكم والله.